Hello and welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. I am joined by my usual co-host, John. And today we have a special guest on. Her name is Helena. Hello, Helena.
Hello. Nice to be here.
So, Helena, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So I'm Helena Brané, and I am the founder and CEO of a social enterprise called Digital Camp. And the goal of what I'm doing right now is to help young people to build digital skills, to gain first work experiences, and to help them learn how to build projects that help the planet.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. So
it's nice to be back anyway. We've had a bit of a break, and I'm excited to speak to you today, Helena. So. What we normally do, we say kind of like we go and say let's start from the beginning of the career and let's work through your career, kind of, you know, the highs, the lows, and then and go from there, if that's okay. So in terms of kind of like the IT industry and stuff that you do now, has that kind of always been a path that you've wanted to go through, or is it something that's just kind of happened?
Actually, it's really interesting question that you asked me, because I started my career not intending to go into technology. In fact, even though I was born and raised in Silicon Valley, I actually grew up as a creative person. So I wanted to become an artist. And I looked at going into art schools, but, you know, my parents told me there wasn't any money in becoming an artist, so they felt it would be better for me to go and get a university degree. Nevertheless, I studied philosophy, and that's also not a normal path to go into tech, but I just sort of landed in tech, and I became inspired, really, in my math class. I remember being in high school in California, and my math teacher brought in one of the first Macintoshes, and he lugged it in and brought this big box and put it onto the table in the center of the room and said, "This is going to change the world." And then he proceeded to tell us about the graphical user interface. And I just thought that was amazing how technology could be used to represent graphical interfaces. And I thought maybe that's something I should check out, is working with tech to help bring some of my creative aspirations to life.
Nice. So then you just in that your sentence in there, you're from the United States of America. What brought you over to Europe and the UK?
Well, I always felt that the world was a bigger place than what I was seeing in California, and I just felt there was so much innovation happening in the tech industry that I really wanted to explore what else was happening and get more experience globally. I felt it was always important to get to learn another language, to live in different places. And so I set my sights on trying to get myself over to Europe and seeing if I could become somebody that would help bring technologies or become a tech specialist in Europe. And so after I graduated from Berkeley, I decided that I was going to go and quit my job from KPMG at the time and move to Paris. And I joined an investment bank and landed there, and didn't go directly back into tech at the time because I wanted to get more experiences. So I went to work. I worked for 5 years in the financial industry, and then I ended up back in tech because I missed it so much.
Everyone loves the tech industry. That's why we're all here, isn't it? That's, you know, it's part and parcel. I mean, that's quite a big jump, obviously, moving from the States to, you know, a completely different country, a completely different language. I mean, how did you find the challenges of just communicating?
It was interesting. I think I got lucky along the way. I've always been somebody that had thoughts about what I wanted to do in the future, and somehow I've always managed to achieve them. So when I thought about going across to Europe, I just, you know, I would, that became not a focus, but it was always there in the background. And so whenever I had an opportunity to discuss it with people, I would ask about their experiences and try to learn from them as much as I could. When I was at KPMG, I met a woman who happened to have an apartment in Paris who happened to have availability. And so a series of serendipitous events really sort of led me in a way to working in Paris. And I had spoken with other friends who had done similar things and encouraged me to do it. So I took the plunge and decided it's worth it. Let's go for it for a year and see what happens. So I'd say, yeah, it comes with challenges in trying to figure out things on the fly if they don't always happen as you expect. But I think I've been pretty lucky so far.
I mean, I'm literally like scrolling through your LinkedIn and seeing like your work in history. I mean, it's not just obviously Paris you've worked in. You've also worked in Switzerland before then, obviously moving over to the UK as well. So, you know, you've definitely done quite a bit of travelling. I mean, how do you find obviously like the challenges of that? Because obviously just being a woman that's obviously moving from location to location, you know, it can be quite difficult, can be quite challenging. So from a social perspective, how did you like cope with that?
I think socially, I always enjoyed meeting new people, and so I think it's I've never really had a problem in meeting new people and integrating socially. So I think probably the hardest move for me was from Paris to Switzerland, because Paris was such a big and a vibrant, deeply culturally rich city, that going into a small town called Zug in Switzerland next to a beautiful lake, but tiny nonetheless, was a challenge.
So I've never heard of Zug. That's a new name to me. I think I know about Zurich, and that's about it.
it was a Swiss German speaking town, but people do speak English. But I was invited to go there to work for a startup company that I had met while I was doing consulting at INSEAD, and they were a company that was just in the process of growing. So they had around 80 people when they first started, and they were looking for somebody to help them to launch their new digital media business. And so they invited me to move over there. And so, yeah, I'd say culturally it was a bit challenging to meet new people in Switzerland, because the Swiss are quite reserved, I found. But the particular startup that I worked with had a mixture of international people coming in from all over the world, as well as some Swiss people. And so we managed to land with, you know, a community of an established network effectively, and then made friends from there with local people in our neighborhood who have remained friends for a long time.
And the difference in weather is a stark contrast between California and
Europe,
right? for sure. You have to get used to the gray skies, to the fog. Sometimes we'd have to drive to the top of the mountain in order to see the sun. But you also had the beautiful mountains, you had the snow, you had the lake that you could go swim in, we could go biking and on gorgeous hikes every weekend. So you learn to take, you know, the good with the bad, and always try to look for the next, you know, cool thing that you want to do, and take the most of it really as an opportunity, as a learning experience.
So you went from Switzerland to Microsoft and spent 11 years at Microsoft, like predominantly in marketing, and you've gone through quite a few different areas, from Windows Media Center to Xbox Live and stuff. Explain, like, give us a bit of a description of like your journey at Microsoft and that part of your career.
Yeah, sure. So I wanted to go and work, after working for a few startups in Switzerland, I felt like it was really important to then go and work for an established brand in the tech industry, because I wanted the opportunity to learn how to scale technology big, and I felt Microsoft would be a great place to do that. So I applied for a job at Microsoft, and I was invited to interview to help launch, for a role that was helping to launch the TV, Microsoft's TV business in Europe. So I got the job, And it was great because I had a chance to work on that for about 3 years. And what was great about that is having the chance to work for a small, innovative startup organization within a large tech company. And it was just wonderful being, again, with a group of international people from everywhere that just was super excited about the opportunity of using tech to fundamentally change experiences in TV and make them interactive and make them better and deliver them across devices. And so it was nice being able to do that. And one of the things that I found working at Microsoft is that, well, you know, it's a company of many businesses. And so eventually the company decided that it wasn't going to continue investing in that area. So it decided to sell that part off. But I took that experience and brought it with me to Windows Media Center, launched TV on Windows, and then helped to launch it across devices. And then from there, joined the Xbox team, where I had a chance to help them to launch the first entertainment experiences. So going using Xbox to go beyond gaming and to deliver video and music. And it was just great. I loved every job that I had at Microsoft. And each time I was given a new opportunity that leveraged the previous experience that I had. So I feel really blessed to have gone through that experience.
Xbox Live part is just such a big part of the whole Xbox thing now anyway. I think it's probably used just as much as the whole gaming side of things on Xbox and also PlayStation as well. But yeah, it's and then you went on to IoT and data lead as well, right? Director of audience evangelism.
Yes, yeah, so I joined.
What is that? Like, is that quite a, like, I know.
It's a cool job title, I'll give you that.
Well, I know what each word means and stuff, but what is it day to day?
Yeah, it was a group that was used to be called DX, so developer experience in Microsoft, which no longer exists. But at the time, one of the goals was for Microsoft to build relationships with developers in the community outside of Microsoft in order to help them understand how to use the different technologies. And that was just at the time when the cloud was coming out, and Microsoft was investing big in the cloud. So that was the first opportunity that I had, was to join this team to help evangelize what could Microsoft Azure do, and how could developers use it, and how could they get creative with tech. And I just love the opportunity to be able to take something technical and to be able to create a story around it and to work with technical people to help them do what they do even better. So what they were trying to do at the time was deliver in-person workshops, teaching their skills person to person in small batches. And what I helped them to do is to digitalize the whole education experience and to reach, you know, global audiences, to deliver much larger scale learning experiences, so that, and then help them to measure the impact of that as well. So it was a fun thing to do because I got a chance to work with not only heavy tech developers and CTOs and, you know, people doing amazing things in businesses, but also young people, and working with students and families. And one of my favorite experiences was working with the Microsoft team and the developer, the Azure developer community, to create a campus takeover where we literally on one weekend, we invited families from and developers from everywhere to come over, and we just took over the whole Microsoft campus at Thames Valley Park and created almost like a tech festival for people to come and learn. And it was just such good fun. We were building nano satellites with using data and showing kids how to create these BBC what were they called, the microchip
boards. Yeah, I don't know about what they're called now.
Now the name is escaping me, but because I haven't used them in a while. But we were helping them to learn how to create an auto satellite out of these miniature boards that would also show them how to code with Scratch, and showing them the process of capturing data through that process.
You can do that on a Raspberry Pi.
yeah, but this was a much smaller board at the time. Yeah.
I'm going to find out what that board's called now, because I remember seeing one and playing one many, many moons ago.
Microbit, there we go.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yes, the BBC Microbit, yeah. So anyway, it was good fun. So that sort of lit the fire under me to go and continue doing this, even though at the end of the day, that group didn't exist anymore. So I went on to find other jobs, but I kept this desire to want to keep evangelize how technology can be used to help people get creative and to realize projects that they're interested in.
Yeah, so obviously from following that, obviously then joined another smaller business and then onto Vodafone. Then before obviously then, you know, setting up your current organization. So you want to tell us all about the digital camp and, you know, what really drove you to basically move away from the corporate world and go at it 100%?
Yeah, well, it really started because, not only did I want to continue doing what I was doing and helping to evangelize tech, I also saw through my own kids that they weren't getting the inspiration that I felt that they could have about what you can do with tech in their schools. ICT was taught as purely, you know, here's a computer and here's some code and go sit down at a desk and just code some stuff. And it was mostly boys, and it wasn't taught in any kind of a fun way. And, you know, my daughter at the time just thought, there's no way, I'm not going to be with those kind of people. They're not interesting. It looks completely boring. So I just thought, she's missing the point. I've got to do something about this. But I couldn't find anything in the marketplace that would give my kids an opportunity to hear from professionals. What do they actually do? What are all the different technologies that people work with? How is this changing new experiences in business, in life? What kinds of jobs could they have? What actually is this thing called cloud, and how can you explain it in less than a minute to a young person? So I took that on as a challenge, and I got together with some former colleagues from Microsoft and some of my colleagues from Vodafone and other people that I knew from the community, and I said, let's go and do something, and let's talk to kids, and let's invite them to come and discover and to get hands-on, and let's make it fun, because we know it can be fun. So let's make tech and data fun for kids. So that was where the digital camp was born. So while I was doing my full-time job at Vodafone, I did that on the side in my nights and on my weekends. And I worked with an awesome team of volunteers that just continued to grow every year. So eventually, after 5 years of doing this and almost 500 people going through the program, I was getting more and more support, more and more volunteers wanting to come on board. So over 100 volunteers joining the initiative on this mission to help build digital skills with students. And more people, you know, wanting to do it. I just couldn't do my full-time job and grow the digital camp and the impact that I wanted it to have while staying in the corporate world. So I decided I was going to take the leap of faith and jump into the wild blue ocean of non-corporate world and see what happens. So that's where I am now.
That's awesome. I come from a background where I was an apprentice going through obviously all the different organizations I've been through, and I remember there was the actual apprentice company I started with, I actually went back and delivered a whole presentation about my career path up to that point when I become like a master MVP, going, you know, this is the world that you can expose yourself to. You just literally have to be driven, have that motivation to go and learn, and not only just do it in your, you know, whatever role you've been assigned and what company you've been placed at, but also try and do it outside as well. Just try and get that little bit of edge to basically promote yourself a little bit more and learn, because the more you put yourself out there, the more you understand how big the cloud really is, even though it's just a data center somewhere back, you know, somewhere, but you know, the cloud's massive, and the opportunities that, you know, are available now for people in the IT industry is just unreal. Because back in the day, it was literally, you know, all physical machines plugging in, you know, servers, but now it's just, you know, Microsoft have opened it up so much, as well as like AWS and all the vendors out there, you know, not trying to be just Microsoft centric, but you know, the world is so big, and it's just, you know, you can, and obviously what the world has shown us is that we can work from anywhere, we can do our jobs anywhere that we want, and the cloud enables us to do that.
You're absolutely right. And you know, one of the things that I learned from the pandemic was just that, you know, I knew that before, but what that really changed was the whole industry shifting. And whereas I used to deliver these camps in person, you know, hosted at either a Vodafone office or a Microsoft office, the pandemic actually shut everything down. So we were forced to deliver the whole thing completely digitally, where kids from all over the world were dialing in from India, from Africa, from different parts of Europe. And it was amazing to see that we could keep kids engaged for 8 hours at a time, for a full day, with nonstop different activities going on all day long, and they still wanted more. And that was the beauty, just to see how that whole physical experience could translate to an equally valuable experience delivered digitally online.
So as a keen interest for myself, how many young girls you have coming through your program? Because I know when I spoke to my daughter's local school, how many girls basically uptake the IT as a GCSE, there weren't that many in comparison to the numbers in the classes. So how many do you see coming through your program?
Yeah, we've been fortunate so far. We've had about an equal spread of girls and boys, but I knew that across the industry there, you know, we are still lacking, and there are not enough girls that are wanting to study tech, wanting to study any kind of STEM, you know, topic, and therefore as a result we're missing more women in tech, and that's one of the things that I think is a missed opportunity. So I really am aiming to attract more girls to go into this field. And one of the things that I'm trying to do through the digital camp is to show all of the different roles that are available for any young person, and especially girls, so that they can see themselves in working in tech. Even if it's not a particular coding role, if that's not of interest to them, there are also opportunities for business managers, for salespeople, for designers, for project managers, for people managers, for people in law, for people in finance. It doesn't really matter. You can do what you love. There's a place for everyone in the tech industry. And what's most important is that we get diversity of people working together in teams, because one of the things that we actually do is we bring students together at the camps and have them work in teams on projects that help the planet. So we give them a challenge. Imagine, you know, you can use tech to create a new product or service. What would you like to create? And we try to bring these teams together. And what you see coming the the ideas coming from the girls versus the ideas coming from the boys, and the way that they interact is so very different. But what works is really getting that mix of ideas coming together. And that's of course, best practice in any business place as well. So I want to see more of that, and we're trying to seed that from the very beginning. I also want to make more girls feel comfortable. So I'm working to get a girls program together to ideally attract and engage hundreds of girls to go through the program to learn digital skills, to gain these first work experiences, to build projects that help the planet, and to ultimately help them launch their own businesses. So after going through the camp, students that go through the program can apply for a digital incubator, and if they're selected, they can have an opportunity to work with a business and a tech mentor, where we show them how to build a proof of concept so they can actually bring their ideas to life. And one good example of that is a team of students. There are two girls and a boy that are working together with me for the last 3 years. They came in at age 14, came up with an idea on using on building a renewable energy tile where you step on it to generate electricity. They then pitched that project to Vodafone, and Vodafone is now investing £50,000 to create a proof of concept in their London Paddington office to see whether, you know, what can we learn from this? Is there enough energy generated by employees stepping on it to feed an urban farm, for example? This is providing great work experience for this team. And at the end of that, if they prove the concept, that they are going to want to go and launch their business, which I'm helping them to do. And it's providing also work experience for other students to go and join that project. So that's more of the type of community participation that I'd like to see, and definitely want to see more girls go through that process.
Yeah, the story and kind of like and kind of what you've been doing is really kind of inspirational, like getting away from that corporate world and going to make a difference is, yeah, it's extraordinary. It's really like going from what it seemed like you've had quite like a 100-mile-an-hour career going from California to Paris to Switzerland to the UK and all these massive companies. Like, it takes some real guts to go off and go, I'm gonna do my own thing. And not only am I gonna do my own thing, I'm also gonna do my own thing and do it for good as well. So that's amazing. I'm not sure if you said, but how did like kids kind of enroll on the digital camp? Like, what's the demographics that you're trying to get in straight through the door?
Yeah, well, the program is open to 11 to 19 year olds. Okay. At the moment, the recommended age for the next camp, which is going to be held on April 14th and 15th, is 14 to 19. And then we have another one in the summer at the end of July, the 24th through the 28th, which is going to be open to younger audiences from 11 to 19 years old. So students can enroll by clicking on my website at www.mydigitalcamp.com. Actually, I think the website developer is just putting up the link today, I hope. But otherwise, there is an Eventbrite link, which I will share with you. And from memory, I think it's www.digitalcamp.april2023.eventbrite.com, but I'll send the link.
Yeah, so I'll put it on the show notes. So if anyone's really interested in, you know, finding out more about the digital camp, they can obviously then, you know, go and visit the website, visit the Eventbrite, and obviously I'll put your LinkedIn in there as well, so people might reach out directly if there's a, you know, of serious interest.
Yeah, so I'd be really grateful for that. And it is a fundraiser event because it takes money, which I've invested so far to make this program work. But I'm hoping that we can raise more money through the community, through these programs, to help more students to learn, and also to help fund the projects that students are hoping to launch and actually bring to market.
So I noticed on your website you're looking for volunteers to help you out on those days. Like, what type of person would you say would be a great person to volunteer and help out at these events?
Anyone with a passion for helping, a passion, especially in the tech industry, but doesn't have to be in tech. So there's pretty much a role for everybody. I'm looking for workshop leaders, for mentors, for storytellers. If you've got skills to share, no matter what your skill is, then there's probably a role for you at Digital Camp. And whether you've got half an hour of your time or a day a month or whatever it might be, there's an opportunity, and we will find a way to make it valuable for you. And that's one of the nice things about the camp. For the more technical people, there are opportunities to get involved as a mentor to help some of the incubator teams to actually build their proof of concepts, and for program managers to get involved and stuff like that. But if you are just getting started, you're enthusiastic but not quite sure where to start, one of the nice roles is maybe listening to students as they set their goals. So every student that comes in, we help them to set their goal for the year and write it down on paper, and then they get to sit with a mentor and the mentor gives them feedback. So that's another nice role.
Okay, I'm gonna sign up as a mentor right now.
Yay! Right. Fantastic.
That's why you asked the question, really, John. I knew there was something behind that question.
We're just asking, because I'm sure plenty of our listeners will want to sign up and become a mentor, right?
I mean, yeah, we know obviously quite a lot of great people in the Microsoft community who will probably be more than happy to, you know, jump on and help and, you know, share their skills. I mean, you know, I can think of probably about 10 off the top of my head that I probably would, you know, rejoin.
That would be amazing. Yes, please help us spread the word, because we definitely want more mentors to get involved. And as we aim to grow and scale the program, we want to let everybody know about it. I haven't had a chance to do proper marketing. It's all been through word of mouth. So this is fantastic. And I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity.
So you're looking for tech skills in UX design, data engineering, business intelligence, AI, data science, web app development, mobile development, IAT, digital service design, solution architecture. That's where me and John fit in.
Yeah, that's what I just done.
And network engineering.
That's what I just done. I couldn't tell you much about any of the other stuff, but I think I could do a bit there. So. Yeah, so I've just signed up, and yeah, any listeners, mydigitalcamp.com. At the top, there's a donate, there's a volunteer, become a part of the school. Just click on volunteer. You'll have a Microsoft form to fill in. Go and do that right now if you'd like to volunteer. But yeah, it's I'm really excited to kind of help out and stuff. That'd be really cool.
And as proven by this podcast, it takes literally a couple of minutes to fill it out, because John's doing it live while we're recording now.
Amazing,
yeah,
thank
cool.
you.
So, go on, John. You ask one of your lovely questions.
Okay, cool. So, double-barreled question, right? I would like for you to tell us through your career, kind of what's kind of been like a real kind of low point, real kind of blow within the career, and kind of like. Not only that, but how did you kind of see it through and bounce back from it? Interview question, sorry.
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's a great question. And actually, I think probably leaving Microsoft for the first time after 11 years was one of the low points, the hardest points in my career, when the company was going through restructuring, and I didn't find the kind of job that I really wanted at Microsoft. And, you know, I'm somebody that has invested so much of my time in my work life that my identity became Microsoft almost. And what I had to do was to find myself again. And I took 3 months to do that. And I went to go and see a personal coach and to figure out, who am I? What are my values? What is it that I want to do in life? I had to write my own eulogy and imagine what would be said about me when I die. And that was an eye-opening moment to make me think really hard and deep about what are my skills, what makes me happy, what kind of an impact I want to make on this planet. And that really helped me to focus in on what I want to do next. And it became all about making my life's mission to make tech and data and getting creative with it fun. And that's partly where the Digital Camp was born. And then the next series of events where we just kept building on ideas and seeing the need in the market. And that's one of the things that continues to drive me today.
I think that's really kind of like a really, really good moment kind of with that answer, which is obviously Microsoft are going through big restructuring again. I don't know, my LinkedIn, it just seems to be constant every couple of weeks, more layoffs.
I mean, yeah, as you say, John, like a lot of people we've done on this podcast, obviously, have been affected by the Microsoft layoffs. So it's, you know, it's not nice seeing people that we, you know, we've had good conversations with, become friends with, obviously been affected by, obviously, you know, what's going on at Microsoft. I mean, it's obviously natural, it happens. I mean, I've heard about the Microsoft shuffle many, many times over, but, you know, it's not a nice place when, obviously, you're having to lose your job.
Yeah, as you said, lots of friends at the moment. It's really horrible. I'm reaching out to like a couple like here and there, and it's not nice to see. But you know, good luck to them, and hopefully, like yourself, they go off and find themselves and find a bit of a next step in their career, which they'll truly love. So the second part of the question was kind of, you said the bad part, what's then the absolutely highlight of your career?
I think it's the feedback that I get from the students and from volunteers that join the program and who tell me about how it's impacted them and their life, what they've learned from it. So students and what they've gone on to do with it, how it's helped them to get into the colleges of their choice or to land a job that they wanted, or, you know, even the ones that are going through the incubator now and who want to start their own business. It's so rewarding to just hear from the students themselves and then from the volunteers as well. So sometimes you get early in career people who are maybe not so confident in what they're doing, and they just want to help somehow, but maybe have never done this kind of thing before, maybe have never spoken in front of an audience. But the Digital Camp gives them a friendly audience to talk to. Students are, you know, it can be frightening for some people, but they're actually quite friendly, most of them, and quite forgiving. And it's an opportunity to play and to learn for everybody that gets involved, and an opportunity to maybe stretch in an area that you might not be familiar with, or learn a new technology and figure out, oh, that's pretty cool. Well, maybe that fun thing that I did and learning that technology would interest some kind of a student. So how can I tell a story about that and make it fun? And how can I do it within the space of an hour? And those become really interesting challenges that when you actually set yourself out to do something you've never done before and you achieve that challenge and you do it, you receive feedback from it, it's, you know, one of the most rewarding experiences, I think, that people go through.
I think kind of finding your passion is the most important thing to do in your career. And, you know, passions change as well, right? Passions can change day to day, year to year, decade to decade. Like, but yeah, going off finding your passion, figuring out kind of what you're good at, and understanding yourself is such a big thing. I mean, I'm going through that recently. You know, the stuff's, can't kind of say too much. But like, you know, I'm going through that recently, and doing this podcast has kind of helped me realize that I love talking to people. I love, like, and then after that, going on talking at conferences, user groups and stuff like that. I think if you just look back at the first podcast that we've done to the podcast now, like how I speak and stuff like that, it's completely changed, completely changed. So yeah, it's finding your passion and go for it. Like, don't kind of get stuck in the job that you've been doing for the past like decade or so. Like you said, your identity become a Microsoft person, and you know, you could say that my identity at the moment is CDW. So yeah, it's sometimes kind of like working out kind of what your passion is and just go for it. Take that leap and
never be scared. Never be scared. I mean
if
I'm speaking at the Global Women in Tech Conference, and I actually went through the speaker list last week and went, okay, well, let's have a look at this list, because obviously, you know, any potential people that can come on the podcast in the future, you know, I'll do a bit of networking. As I kept scrolling down, I am the only male on that list, which is quite interesting. Obviously, maybe I'm the only person that submitted a session for it, or, you know.
I didn't know it was a thing, to be fair. When you told me, I didn't actually know it was a thing. So.
And that's just it. I mean, I saw it by LinkedIn by accident, and I thought, you know what, because, you know, I do this podcast, and, you know, I do it when we go and speak at other conferences, John. It's like, you know what, I'm going to just throw my hat in the ring and see what happens. And I was quite surprised I actually got selected. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, sharing the experiences that I have, you know, learned from basically being on this podcast and the people that I'm involved now in Fujitsu, because I'm very much embedded in the Women in Business Network. Yeah, I just want to basically help as much as possible and share, you know, that knowledge that I've gained, because after all I've done is basically just took a bit of passion and just run with it and become really a big drive in my life now to make sure that how I speak and what I do outside of my normal role as an architect, that I'm assisting people and showing that there is another way, and, you know, don't be scared, you know, throw yourself out there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I forgot to kind of say, to Andrea, I've been accepted for the speak at the Scottish Summit in August, which is in Manchester, you know, and kind of, I was quite confident I could get accepted as a speaker, but I was just like, what can I do to kind of help somebody? So
yeah, so you've picked up someone for the session.
So I picked up a brand new speaker, a young girl called Patricia, and I met her at last year's Scottish Summit. We was doing a session at Luke Evans, a friend of mine, was doing a session, and she absolutely grilled him like on the question and answer bit, and it was just so funny because he was sweating because he was getting so many kind of questions, and like me and Jose, my friend of mine, we were kind of like just joining in with it, and you could just see the talent that was there with the girl, like that with Patricia. She was just like really good. So like I think she added me on Twitter or something like that evening or something like that, and I was just like, who can I ask for? I'm gonna ask for like someone who's not spoken before, someone who I think is kind of really passionate, who can talk, and who can I kind of relay my experiences in terms of creating a session, talking, like helping out that side of thing, and reached out to her. She was really excited, and when it comes to what do we do in terms of like a session, what should we pick, I was like uncomfortable in the whole Microsoft 365 space, but she wasn't, so I was just like, look, you do what you want to do in terms of speaking, come up with a subject, I'll help you with the CFS, with the cool speakers, I help with the title and all of that type of stuff. I now need to go and learn infrastructure as a code before August. I need to learn that back to front, which is really good. It gives me something to kind of like go off and learn and broaden my skills. But she's highly talented, so I'm really happy about that. And it's you know, sometimes you can go off and say that. You kind of back new speakers, you back women in tech, but I think it's really good to kind of go off and actually do it.
You're fulfilling the role of a male ally right there.
Oh, shut up.
it's so true, and you guys are great examples of that, of going out and doing something that you love and trying something different. And that's what I would recommend, that everybody goes and does.
Yeah.
So,
all right, anyway, I know we've all got
hard stops, we have
a minute, so really great to have you on, Elena. It's really a pleasure, and hopefully we'll see you soon as a volunteer.
Fantastic. Yes, I've also signed up as well. I've done it. Yay. There you go. It took me a minute to do. So yeah, please, if you're listening to this podcast and want to help out the digital camp, obviously it sounds really cool, please go and sign up. I'll put the links in the show notes. So yeah, please do so.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.